So it's not even summer yet, but it's already plenty hot, and some parts of our parched landscape, especially on the California side, already mimic late summer conditions, and you can include the Klamath River in that. Water in the lower river is already low and warm, and concerns about a possible major fish kill are already growing, if not, in fact, great already. The concern at the moment focuses on a parasite that kills salmon, and there are not many options available for dealing with the problem. Mike Belchick is a fisheries biologist for the Yurok Tribe and our guest on the Jefferson Exchange. Mike, thank you for joining us.
Hello. Thanks for having me on the show.
Let's talk about the number of agencies, because it's the Yurok Tribe and a lot of other groups that are interested in the general level of health in the Klamath River. Tell us about the whole working together of those groups.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up. Well, it's a real team effort, and there's a lot of different people that are concerned about fish diseases. So among our partners are in the major researchers, which is Oregon State University, and the California Nevada Fish Health Center, which is run by U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service. There's also other tribal partners. The Karuk Tribe and the Hoopa Valley Tribe are closest partners in this. There's also the California Department of Fish and Wildlife, and there's a group called the Klamath Fish Health Action Team, which is basically comprised of the agencies I just named, and we get together for weekly phone calls and discuss real-time conditions on the river and sometimes issue alerts or characterize the state of the river with like a code yellow or code red or, you know, in terms of likelihood of a fish kill.
And so what color are we in now, Mike?
I think we're in yellow right now, or, you know, I'm not actually sure because it's changing so fast. We're having a phone call in about an hour, but certainly the risk is pretty high right now.
All right, so yellow, you think bordering on red potentially?
Yeah.
Okay, and so what are some of the general conditions going on with the river at the moment?
Well, you know, everybody knows that we've had a drought. It's kind of unusual in that the Klamath Basin and the Upper Klamath, where a lot of the water for the Klamath River comes from, and the Trinity Alps and the high mountains here, had pretty close to normal precipitation last winter, about 90%. However, the snowpack was beyond off the charts low. It didn't just break the record for lowest snowpack ever in the Klamath Basin. It just smashed it. It obliterated the old record. Essentially, many parts of the basin got no snow at all. Many parts of the basin that generally get snow every year. So what happened was that any part of the basin that depends on snowmelt for part of its runoff is already experiencing summer low drought conditions, whereas conditions in some of the rain-driven tributaries are more close to normal. But overall, the situation is that the river is in a drought condition.
All right. So without the snowpack, there's no essential bank up there in a sense to hold more water back for later. What you're going to get is what's there already, it sounds like.
Yeah. Every year there's a run out when the snowmelt ends and the water flows descend towards summer levels. And that happened in March and April instead of June and early July this year.
Wow. So we're talking 3 months in advance.
Yeah. So what we're doing is hitting summer-like conditions, you know, a couple months early.
All right. So the issue, it sounds like the warm water leads to the growth of other stuff that is not good for fish. And it sounds like this parasite is one of several things, but certainly the most daunting thing at the moment.
Well, what we're dealing with two major parasites, one that primarily affects the young salmon, and that one's called Cirrhata nova shasta. It's a parasite that infects the fish, but also infects a tiny little worm in the upper that lives in the river near Iron Gate Dam in the upper part of the river. So it's a parasite that has two hosts, and when it infects the young fish in high numbers, it can cause great mortalities. We're seeing 80-90% infectivity rates in our young fish this year, and especially in Chinook salmon. And so we're really worried that we're essentially losing the year class of fish right now in what you might call an invisible fish kill, because these guys are like a couple inches long. Scavengers and predators eat up the bodies really fast, so you don't see massive amounts of dead fish in the river. Nonetheless, our work from our partners, U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, and from Oregon State University indicate that we are experiencing tremendous losses right now from that.
And it sounds like you have to work pretty fast to collect evidence of the outbreak.
Well, there's a couple different ways that they collect evidence for that. One is that there's a trap up about 40 miles below Iron Gate Dam that collects young fish. You can then look at the young fish for clinical signs of the disease, even when they're not dead yet, but you can tell. They get distended bellies, their gills turn pale. Basically, they're swimming dead at that point. They're almost for certain going to die, but they're still alive. Other things that they can do is directly sample the water, and then through the miracles of modern science, analyze the DNA in the water for the disease itself, and thus we can detect spores, these little spores that infect the fish, at concentrations as low as one spore per liter, which would be impossible if you just tried to use a microscope and look for it. Those spore, direct spore measurements are indicating spore levels in the river up to 10 times as high as necessary to cause significant mortality.
All right, so that with those kinds of odds, I mean, the odds of a major fish killer are there, I mean, to put it mildly.
Well, like I said, there's two different diseases, and that's one that's affecting the juvenile fish. Mm-hmm. We're experiencing heavy losses right now from that. The other more visible fish disease killer that caused the massive fish kill in 2002 is another protozoan parasite called Ichthyophthirius multifilius.
Is that the one everybody just calls Ick for short?
Ick, yeah. So that one had caused significant fish loss in adult fish. So we're talking adult migrating salmon that are coming back in from the ocean. And in 2002, in late September, we had a massive fish kill. Estimates range between 35 and 78,000 fish died in that. I was there personally. I'd go towards the upper end of those estimates. So that disease is well known among people that raise fish in aquariums. It causes problems for people that raise fish in aquariums. It's found worldwide. For unknown reasons, it pops up every now and then and becomes a major problem. The science right now points towards temperature and flow issues as being the culprit. And for that reason, since the fish kill in 2002, we have periodically requested and received additional flows, primarily from Trinity Reservoir. The Trinity is a tributary to the Klamath. And they have a lot of storage on that river, although the storage is depleted this year, and are sometimes able to release large amounts of water that both increase flow, but they also cool the temperature in the river down because the dam releases are colder than ambient temperature.
We're talking about issues with fish in the Klamath River. Mike Belchik is a fisheries biologist working for the Yurok Tribe, one of several agencies that are involved with monitoring the health of fish in the Klamath River. And as you heard, there'll be a call in about an hour to update the current set of conditions, which are looking rather grim at the moment. You can join us on the Jefferson Exchange. Questions and comments welcome. 800-838-3760 throughout the listening area. 800-838-3760. Email address is jx@jeffnet.org. In both cases, then, with the parasite that is affecting the young salmon and the ick, which causes the heavy losses in the adult fish, is it generally that both do well? Both of those bad actors do well in low flows and warm water.
Yeah, it's a complex relationship, but in some ways, it's not all that complex. For the sea Shasta. One of the things that warm temperatures do, especially with these types of organisms that aren't warm-blooded, is warm temperatures will speed up life cycles. So things complete their, like the disease organisms complete their life cycles faster. It also affects the fish in that warm temperatures make the fish less able to fight off disease. So the fish do have some defenses of their own against these diseases. It is possible for them to fight off these infections, but the warm water adds stress to them. It makes it more difficult for them to fight off these infections. Particularly with the ick, the life cycle shortens dramatically. Ick is a parasite. It doesn't have an alternate host. It only has the fish. It attaches to the skin or the gills of the fish, grows fairly large for a single-celled organism, about to the size of a grain of salt. You can actually see it with the naked eye. Another name for it is white spot disease. The organism then drops off, attaches to the bottom of the river for a day or two while it's dividing thousands of times, and then it releases thousands of these little swimming stage called therons that then find another fish, attach, and begin the whole cycle over again. When the water temperature is warm, that whole process can take 3 to 5 days. When the water temperatures cool off, like later in the fall, down to in the high 50s or low 60s, that will take 12 to 21 days instead. That really makes a big difference when you're talking building up numbers for an epidemic that could cause a kill.
Because there are not, with the colder water, there are fewer mature specimens of this of the parasite to attach to the fish.
Well, it just takes longer for them to complete their life cycle. So since each one of them is releasing like 1,000 babies, if that's happening every 3 days, it's a lot different than if that's happening every 12 to 20 days. And I should also say that the flows are important themselves, aside from them being able to reduce temperatures, because the increased turbulence and velocity makes it more difficult for the therons to find an adult fish to then continue the epidemic life cycle of the ick organism. And that's been demonstrated through scientific studies, peer-reviewed literature.
So they can get carried past the potential host and not be able to latch on?
Exactly. Wow. Exactly. Increased turnover time, increased turnover rate, where more water is coming in and flushing through the system in a given unit of time, is really important for that.
So, Mike, it sounds like the remedy for either of these is and this is obviously easier said than done, is to have more and cooler water in the river. Is that fair to say that that's a remedy for both of these situations?
Yeah, I believe that is fair to say right now.
But given reservoir storage pretty much anywhere along the Klamath Basin and up the Trinity as well, and of course the Trinity reservoirs also supply through tunnels some water to the Sacramento River Basin, don't they?
That's exactly right. So, the Trinity connects up with Whiskeytown Reservoir by Redding through about a 45-mile-long tunnel. And so the storage reservoir on the Trinity is about 2.4 million acre-feet. So an acre-foot is enough water to cover an acre of land foot deep. So it has a lot of storage, but it's already low, and if imports continue to the Central Valley at the rate they were in the last couple years, then it'll just put additional pressure on the storage in the reservoir. And the problem is that if that reservoir gets too low, you run out of cold water pool in the reservoir, which is used to release cold water to the river. And there are thousands, if not tens of thousands, of adult Chinook holding in the upper Trinity River. They're called spring Chinook, and they're already in the river now, and they rely on that cold water in the summer. And if you run out of cold water in the summer, those spring Chinook could face mass mortality.
It sounds like what you end up getting faced with here, Mike, is deciding which of several runs of fish are going to die more.
Well, you hate to be put in that position. Certainly there's a drought that's just putting pressure on all the resources here. But there's decisions to be made, like even right now with water management for the policy folks. As a scientist and information provider, I provide information on one aspect of the problem. Like, in other words, like, here's the conditions on the river, here's the projected fish run, these are some possible outcomes if flows are or are not provided in terms of effects for fish disease. In the lower Klamath, below where the Trinity is, for the ick, and then also in the upper Klamath, where the Serrata Nova Shasta is.
So we're talking to Mike Belchick, a fishery biologist for the Yurok tribe, one of several agencies, again, working to try to hold off or prevent, if possible, massive fish kills in the Klamath River, the lower Klamath River this year. Join us on the exchange with questions or comments, 800-838-3760 or jx@jeffnet.org. So it sounds like one of these situations where all the options are not particularly full solutions to anything.
Yeah, I think it would be fair to say that. You know, last year we were similarly stretched. We even had less precipitation last year. And we made a request to the Bureau along with others. The Bureau initially had said no. They reversed themselves, did provide flows. But even with the additional flows, starting in mid-September, we found the ick on the salmon again last year for the first time in 12 years. And the numbers continued to grow. You know, we were catching fish and looking at their gills, counting ick, trying to figure out where the origin of the infection was, tracking it over time in different locations on the Yurok Reservation, which is the lower 44 miles of the Klamath River. The numbers grew. It really appeared that a fish kill was imminent. But right as the numbers peaked, the run was passing through. Temperatures were dropping fast because it's fall. The sun angle isn't as high. The days are shorter. It's not as hot outside. And we weathered the storm, as it were, and didn't have an adult fish kill. But there was a lot of extra water provided. It appears that we just dodged a bullet last year with the provision of the extra water.
You mentioned being around for the fish kill in 2002 on the Klamath River. I mean, as a fisheries biologist, you're going to see things like lots of dead fish in one place at one time. How did that compare to anything else you've seen in your career?
There is just no comparison. You know, when you get a large fish run in the Klamath that returns, let's say like 160,000 fish are going to come back one year, and even if you have 0.1% as a loss, that's 160 fish. So when the salmon come back in, it's a tough journey for them. They're having to transition from saltwater to freshwater. The temperatures are pretty warm at the beginning part of the run every year, no matter what. And there are some losses. But in 2002, it just ballooned from, well, we've got a couple dozen, to call came in, yeah, we've got a couple hundred, to 2 days later, we had tens of thousands and more dying all the time. And it was an incredibly sad scene. It's hard to just paint the picture, but what I remember most is the smell. You know, we had like 1.5 million pounds of rotting salmon on the banks of the river, and we didn't know exactly why. We didn't have the results back yet. Ick had never been recorded in the Klamath as a killer before. I knew right away it wasn't a chemical or toxic spill because other types of fish were doing okay, and the birds seemed to be doing okay. Aquatic insects were doing fine, so I didn't believe it was anything toxic right away, chemical-wise. But when the fish pathologist report came in and they said it was ick, I had a lot of learning to do about that disease really fast.
You've learned that a lot in the last dozen years, I'm thinking.
Yeah, there's a lot to learn about it. It's pretty common worldwide, but it rarely causes mass fish mortalities in wild systems. It's not unheard of, but it's rare.
So are there any options that look like they're good for the short term and long term here, or are you just going to keep monitoring things day by day and come up with recommendations as conditions warrant?
Well, what we're going to be doing this summer is monitoring the flow conditions. We'll utilize the River Forecast Center, which forecasts river flows into the future, to take a look at the flows in the lower Klamath. There's been an analysis done by Dr. Josh Strange, who used to work for the Yurok Tribe, that analyzed flow conditions in 2002 versus other years and came up with a recommendation that the lower Klamath be kept at a minimum of 2,500 cubic feet per second in order to prevent fish kills. We'll be taking a look at whether flows are forecast to drop below that or not and making recommendations as appropriate.
All right. So several steps ahead still, obviously, and lots of stuff to monitor. I mean, any help you think might come from I mean, if a thunderstorm brings a lot of precipitation with it at this point, set the fire aside for a second, does it come close to giving anything close to what the river needs?
It would help in the short term, for sure. Mm-hmm. Even cloud cover just helps keep water temperatures down, even if it doesn't actually rain. Solar radiation is a main reason why rivers heat up in the summer rather than air temperature. So anything helps in the short term, but a thunderstorm now is not going to affect the water conditions when the fish are entering the river in September. It will really be more dependent on immediate meteorological conditions then instead of now. But I should also note that in years like last year where we did have big-time fires like the Happy Cap Complex, and that the smoke itself can actually cool the water down, and there is a connection between fires and fish that isn't always bad.
Huh, okay. Well, we'll have a chance to talk to you again, I'm sure, about this, because the conditions will continue. Mike Belchik is a fisheries biologist for the Yurok Tribe, keeping an eye on conditions in the Klamath River. Mike, thanks so much for joining us on The Exchange.
Okay.
All right, take care.